people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country.
When you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. Mm-hmm. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. Well, lots more news and views for our people. Of course, those are the European founding settler people of the Dominion of Canada, the United States of America, the Dominions of Australia and New Zealand, the Republic of South Africa, Rhodesia, and all of you who may be listening this morning in the European heartland. Well, I'm recording this Saturday night, another night of riots in many American cities, all because of the unfortunate death of a Negro person who was accused of passing a forged check. I believe. This was the protest that was held, North America. There was one in Toronto that was partly about that. And I'll get to that in a moment. But the protests in the States were about George Floyd, a Negro with a career police record who the police in Minneapolis tried to arrest earlier this weekend, in fact did arrest him, and it would appear that improper force was used. Police officer knelt on the man, on this guy Floyd's neck, probably not the brightest thing. Anyway, he died, was unable to breathe. Well, in fairly short order, the authorities had investigated. He was the officer directly in charge. Well, all four officers involved were fired. And, you know, to be fair, this didn't seem like due process. You know, you don't have an investigation, you're fired. We're fired on the spot. And then the officer responsible for having his knee on this George Floyd's neck was charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter on Friday. You would think that would be the end of it, but it's not. Blacks some protested in a number of cities, but others, in fact, rioted. Buildings burned. There's big fires in Philadelphia. Fires in New York City. Looting, widespread looting in various places. And you know, it was really quite something to see those pictures of looters coming out of big department stores, their arms loaded with stolen goods. Now, you wonder, what does this have to do with the killing of George Floyd by a white policeman in Minneapolis? That has nothing at all. This is opportunistic behavior, or just plain chimping out. And there's nothing new about this. It may be for some of my young friends, we haven't seen anything like this. Well, I'll tell you, back in 1964 and 5, there were riots in Detroit. In 1968, when Martin Luther King was killed, there were riots in many, many American cities. With the same result. Stores burned, stores looted, police cars set on fire, and so on. And then again, after Trayvon Martin was killed, and then again, when there are a couple of deaths in police custody in Baltimore, but at the hands of black policemen, incidentally, more rioting. In fact, that's just what Negroes tend to do. Now, I'm not saying there aren't people in there, maybe even a majority, that in these protests who are peaceful, who have a point they want to make, whether we agree with it or not. And that's their right. But why do these degenerate into, almost inevitably, into looting and arson? Well, there's a number of reasons, and nobody's going to like these too much. Blacks as a group often lack restraint. Often do not consider a great deal of consideration to the consequences. They're impulsive. Add to that a coddling by a white left liberal regime in many places that for decades have made excuses for this type of behavior. And that's toxic. It's as if the same degree of lawfulness is not expected of blacks. In fact, they're justified in being lawless. You know, it's to make up for slavery. Well, you know, that, to be quite frank about it, is bullshit. No black in the United States today has ever been a slave. Well, I'm sorry. There might be a few who have come from Africa, but they weren't enslaved by white people. They were enslaved by Arabs or other blacks. So, effectively, no black has ever been a slave in the United States. No parent of any black has ever been a slave. No grandparent has ever been a slave. In fact, slavery was abolished in 1863, I believe. Or effectively was abolished at the end of the American Civil War in 1865, which was 155 years ago. No person alive, no father of any person alive, no grandfather of any person alive was ever a slave. So slavery as an excuse for rioting, looting, and so on is a non-starter. Many of our European ancestors were desperately poor. When the Irish fled Ireland during the potato famine of 1846-1848, many of them were literally penniless, had only the clothes on their back, were in many cases very ill, lucky if they actually survived the other the transatlantic crossing. They had nothing. They had been driven by famine and some degree of persecution from their native land. So do Irishmen today have a carte blanche to commit crime? I want to get back for the potato famine. Well, what about the Scots? At the end of the 18th century, greedy landowners decided they could make more money by grazing sheep in the Highlands than by allowing the crofters, and these are small farmers who would be like call them sharecroppers, to remain. So they cleared the Highlands. They just expelled them. You're gone. You're out of here. And that's why many of the Scots that who are the ancestors of today's Scots, came to North America. But would they be excused for bad behavior? I remember the clearances. You know, my I guess by this point it would probably be great-great-great-great-grandfather was forced to leave Scotland penniless, having been turned out of turned off the land that his folks had lived on for generations. No, it doesn't work that way. And we should stop indulging blacks in that. What is going to happen? Are these protests going to continue? I think they will for a while. It's going to be very important for the American authorities to be tough. Fair, yes, but tough. As Donald Trump said, and he's had to kind of dance around the comment because it was actually one board from a Miami chief of police in the 1960s, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. And that the Riot Act should be read to these feral protesters that break in, that commit arson, or break into and loot places. It shouldn't be negotiable. You don't do that. Now it's up to the police to protect property and people. And looting should come with consequences. But in fact, shooting looters is a good idea. It will likely deter others. Many of these business owners will be ruined. Not only is the business, you know, up in flames, but in many cases they will not be able to get more insurance. The insurance company will look at the risk and say, well, you're in a bad neighborhood. The police couldn't or wouldn't protect you. If this happens again, and it will happen again, in another year, another 2 years, another 5 years, and you may well be burned out or looted again. What did these businessmen ever do to deserve this ruin? Well, nothing. And that's the ought to be the police mission. Make it clear. No surprises, no ambushes, but looting will not be permitted. No. You loot, we shoot. That's it. Person caught with a, you know, staggering out of department store with an arm full of good goods, he should be given one chance. Drop the goods, put up your hands, and surrender. If you don't, we'll shoot you. Having given them fair warning, this is what ought to be done. Will it be? We'll have to see. My guesses are is that much of the American establishment is so morally weak that it may not happen. And, of course, they have been undermined by decades of propaganda and lies. White guilt, viciously anti-white narrative that, unfortunately, some of them, or many of them,
in a sense, believe in. Well, you know, when you no longer believe in the real justice of your own cause, your days are numbered. It was said that one of the reasons the British Empire collapsed so quickly was not really just geopolitics, but the last generation of rulers of the empire, in many cases, did not believe in its legitimacy. They had imbibed a form of Marxism or white guilt. And so if you don't really believe in your cause, you're really just going through the motions, or you're holding office basically to stroke your own ego, you will not be effective. In fact, that's one of the reasons I think the leadership is so bad. Our old communist, I mean, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, with been covering the riots, and they interviewed a cafe owner, the owner of the Driftwood Cafe, whose name momentarily escapes me, it's not all that important. And she was a social justice warrior female. And this is, you know, unbelievable. But on Wednesday night, rioters smashed the window of the Driftwood Cafe, trashed the place, stole two cash registers, and then abandoned them a few blocks away. You know why? Yeah, because they didn't have any money in them. Well, she was interviewed about how did she feel. And she asked herself that a number of times before she answered, well, how do I feel? Well, I don't know how I feel. But then she said she was angry. Very, very, very angry. Well, at the looters? No, at the white policeman who ended up killing this Negro, George Floyd. I thought, well, you're not angry at the looters? They trashed your place. Apparently, she, and I don't know if it'd be her husband, or anyway, they tried to clean it up the next day, and they're sort of back in business. But they would have suffered substantial losses. Not angry at them too, the looters? Well, apparently not. And then she went on repeating the same tired crap that she sympathized with the protesters, and you know, there's just been too many killings of black men and black women. They're killed by the police all the time. Black women? Come on. This is a person who is bought into complete sick guilt. You can tell it's really part of the problem. You know, and you want to say, well, now look, do you really have the moral fiber to survive? Look, I mean, if you're not outraged by what happened to you, as much as you make a caveat that I know many protesters were peaceful, sure enough, but if you're not angry, well, who's going to be angry on your behalf? You know, maybe you just don't have the the moral fiber or the instincts to survive. And that's more and more what this is coming down to. Well, today was a day in Toronto of a number of protests. I was at one. It was the, I'm going to say, the sixth, I think, weekend in a row of an end the lockdown protest at Queen's Park in downtown Toronto. That's the park that surrounds the Legislative Assembly, but it's called Queen's Park. So we rallied again around the statue of Canada's first Prime Minister, Sir John A. Macdonald, and our message was clear: end the lockdown, no forced vaccines. My body is mine to control, and I will not accept a forced vaccine. Blame, of course, for the Red Chinese for having given us this plague, having sold Canada defective masks. Oh, they're a great country, that China. Anyway, it was a game of very good protest. I interviewed a number of people who were there. But we were aware that there was another protest on the way. It had left Christie Pits, which is a park, I would say about a mile away. And it was a protest around the idea of Black Lives Matter. And they were protesting the death of a woman.
And I'm going to give you some details about that. It is a tribute to the gross stupidity of many people, including leaders, Black community leaders. Thousands rally in Toronto against anti-Black and anti-Indigenous racism, rather than Indigenous being, of course, Indians. For those of you not completely up on the latest political correctees. And here's a Negress in a picture on the CBC coverage. Sorry, Sani. I don't make this stuff up. S-O-R-E. Sorry, Sani holds up a sign. That's hashtag justice for Regis. Okay, well, who is the Regis? And hereby, as they say, hangs a tail. Now, the Regis is Regis Korchinski Paquette. Right. Regis, R-G-I-S. That's female, incidentally. Korchinski, K-O-R-C-H-I-N-S-K-I, hyphen Paquette. Anyway, Regis Korchinski Paquette, on Wednesday evening, ended up dead, having leapt off the balcony of the 24th story apartment at 100 High Park Road in the West End of Toronto. Now, you may say, well, what are they protesting? Well, there have been 3 911 calls about a person with a knife. That was apparently Regis Korchinski Paquette. She had, as they put it, mental challenges, whatever those are. And she also was epileptic. There's a lot that isn't, well, it hasn't been revealed yet. But anyway, the police showed up in force because this was categorized as priority one because of the report of a weapon being involved. Well, apparently, Regis Korchinski Paquette wouldn't let the police in her apartment. And she went out on the balcony and attempted to go to another balcony, lost her grip, fell, and died. Now, you'd say, well, what's the protest about? Well, the mother, incidentally, who was not present, not in the apartment, made the accusation that the police threw her her daughter off the balcony. The protests today estimated, between 3,000 and 4,000, came very close to where we were going to be. And so certainly most of our leaders did not want a confrontation. But partly because these are two separate issues. And the lockdown is one thing. Black Lives Matter, one of their signs, if you can't change the system, it's hard to even know, something it. I, for one, did not want to be in a confrontation with these people, or actually even the same place. I do not support them. The police obviously didn't kill the girl. But there were politicians there, Brampton North MPP Kevin Yard, a member of the Ontario Black NDP Black Caucus, that's the Socialist Party, said he was out there to show support for Regis. Well, maybe she needed support during her life. What would have motivated her to try to go from one balcony on a 24th floor apartment to another. You know, was she addled on drugs? Was she? One doesn't know. And of course, they were waving the signs, Black Lives Matter. Okay, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but other lives matter too. And it would appear that her life ended because of either an accident, foolishness, or was it a suicide? You see, the woman had mental issues too. Well, the usual Andy White's got a chance to preach as usual. A lawyer representing Korchinski Peckett's family say her relatives do not want to see violence. That only answers about how she died. Well, why would the mother, who was not there incidentally, accuse the police of throwing the daughter off the balcony? Now, that this would receive any credence at all. And, of course, the mass media repeated it at great length yesterday. The ramblings, well, let's be kind, of a distraught mother. I can understand that, you know. It perhaps is easier to accept if you say, well, the police killed her, rather than, it was an accident, or the woman's a stupid fool. I mean, well, why would she possibly trying to cross from one balcony to another? Toronto Mayor John Tory called the community's anger over her death understandable, describing anti-Black racism as a fact in our society. You see, there is your typical left, liberal, white-hating leader, even though, superficially, John Tory is white. Anti-Black racism is a fact in our society. That's assuming that she died because of racism. It would appear she died through either a choice she made, perhaps suicide, or an incredibly dumb thing to do. That wasn't racism. That's stupidity. So that was the story from Toronto today. And I heard several politicians on the TV flapping their gums about about racism. Now this Regis Korchinski Peckett was a 29-year-old Negress living in High Park, West Toronto. And here's some of the misinformation and rumors spread on the internet. This is a tweet from somebody called Durham Operations, with the anarchist symbol as part of his logo. Not long after the police murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis, the Toronto police may have played an integral part in the death of a 29-year-old Black woman. Her family says after the police pushed her off, not even a sentence that contains. The Prime Minister of the country, the trust fund kid, Justin Trudeau, apparently he doesn't have the power to order the municipal police, but gave the direction that the police should basically back off. In other words, let the Blacks do what they're going to do. Now, I would certainly agree, let them protest, wave their signs, chant their slogans, no problem with that. It is their democratic right. But not Black, back off regardless. I meet some really good, interesting people at these protests. And one of the people with whom I have worked before is lady from my new hometown of Hamilton, and we call her Hamilton Lily. She is a frequent participant in protests. She's a, a very brave woman and a gifted videographer. And she was down in the lockdown protest today. And then she ended up at trying to see what she could see about Black Lives Matter, justice for this Negress who took a leap off a 24th story balcony. Anyway, Lily was assaulted, not by blacks, but by members of the Antifa. And here's her little story about what happened to her today at the hands of Antifa in Toronto. The newspapers report, or the media reports, there was not violence, but there was some violence, and she was a victim of it, or at least some of the violence. So this is Hamilton Lily. I'm hoping that it'll hear her, I think. Sometimes.
Hi, this is Lily. So I was.
I don't know if we're going to have some problems with the sound. We got one second worth of Lily's commentary.
The holding sign at Black Lives Matter rally, stating Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter on one side, and then on another side, All Lives Matter and Seniors Lives Matter. And this pot hats, the one that smoked weed, poured beer on my hair. So, and I have to Google now if beer is good for my hair, like beer has yeast, if I just want to know if it's good. So, and that's what happened. I was going to do the Wuhan virus protest, but everybody went to Black Lives Matter rally, right? So I went to hold sign, and I wrote in blue color, Blue Lives Matter, and this is what you get. You get beer, they pour beer on you, okay? Because they have class. They can talk. They have to be violent. And now I love cops even more. I love cops now. Blue Lives Matter. My mom, may she rest in peace, she passed away. She used to date a cop. And then my father, military communist, commie, comes in the picture, and my mom wanted to travel. So she dumped the cop and went with the military guy. So now I will love cops even more. So when these animals were starting to pour beer on me, I'm like 44-year-old middle-aged woman, and my daughter is half black, by the way. Cops were protecting me. So when you need 911, who do you call? You call police. Okay? Blue Lives is the name of this video. Thank you, Toronto Police.
And that was Hamilton Lily, and you might have had a little bit of trouble with her accent, but she said she had a her sign at the rally, Blue Lives Matter, that's the police, All Lives Matter. Well, yeah, you can certainly agree with that.
Over the weekend, Jeff Bezos' personal newspaper ran a fawning profile of a Georgia politician called Stacey Abrams. Now, by itself, that's not very surprising.
This is Tucker Carlson.
Abrams is a well-known left-wing Democrat, and the Washington Post exists. Most people like that for decades, it often has. But even by the usual standards of over-the-top, slobbering hackery, this piece exists in its own category. By the end of the nearly 6,000 1,000 words of unmitigated praise, you begin to wonder why no one has yet formed a religion based on Stacey Abrams, the world's fourth great Abrahamic faith. According to the Washington Post, Abrams is a lot more than just a former state-elected official who goes on cable television a lot. She's a spiritual figure. Indeed, she is quite possibly the author of our redemption. Listen to how the thoroughly smitten Post reporter describes an encounter between Stacey Abrams and a devoted acolyte. And keep in mind, as you hear this, they're not making any of it up to be mean. This is verbatim. Quote, pandemonium ensues as she walks to the far left of the stage like a runway supermodel, stops on a dime, poses, tilts her head slightly, and smiles. Camera flashes explode. Abrams is summoning her inner actress, and she is both enjoying the moment and getting through it to get to the conversation. End quote. So she's like a supermodel, but she's also a superhero. In fact, the piece was entitled The Power of Stacey Abrams. In the accompanying photo, Abrams poses like Superman, pink trailing behind her. Just in case you missed the point of the piece, this woman is going to save the world. And Washington Post thinks that's possible. The story was designed, of course, to push Joe Biden to pick Stacey Abrams as his running mate. Now, no one who knows Biden or who watches him carefully thinks he could lead this country in his condition or even serve a full term in a ceremonial role as president. Anyone who serves as vice president under Joe Biden would, in effect, be president of the United States. All of which raises the obvious question, who exactly is this Stacey Abrams they're relentlessly promoting? What, for example, does she do for a living? Probably the first question. And as it turns out, not much. Supposedly, Abrams runs some kind of political action committee paid for by Mike Bloomberg. She also serves on a few boards. All in all, it's not a heavy lift job-wise. Abrams' actual vocation is being professionally aggrieved. That's a real job. 3 years ago, Abrams served in the Georgia State House. That's a real job. It's still, in fact, the highest office she has ever held in the Georgia State House. While she was there, she accomplished, let's see, virtually nothing. We checked. 2016, she did get some publicity for sponsoring a bill that would have ordered police to seize by force, also called assault weapons, in the state. The same bill would have made it a felony to possess what she called a high-capacity magazine, and once again, the police would have been obliged to seize those by force. She did that, and that's about it. Why do we know her name? Well, because in 2018, Stacey Abrams lost the Georgia governor's race. And it was not, despite what they tell you, an especially close election. She came up short by 55,000 votes. That's nearly 0.5%. And this was a cycle with the state's highest voter turnout in decades. And she still lost by 55,000 votes. How did Abrams respond? Well, she pretended it never happened. She declared herself governor anyway, and she denounced anyone who disagreed with that as a racist. Well, instead of calling the state mental health authorities, which they might have done, many of her fellow Democrats played along with the fantasy.
Without voter suppression, Stacey Abrams would be the governor of Georgia.
If this country wasn't racist, Stacey Abrams would be governor.
It was the voter suppression, particularly of African-American communities, that prevented us from having a Governor Stacey Abrams right now.
Yes. Stacey Abrams ought to be the governor of Georgia. When racially motivated voter suppression is permitted, we cannot truly say that we live in a democracy.
This country wasn't racist. Stacey Abrams would be governor. By the way, as a factual matter, there's literally zero evidence to support that that's true or even sort of true. Doesn't matter, the fact that Stacey Abrams isn't the governor of Georgia, despite losing a fair election with the highest voter turnout in decades, can only be racism. That is Stacey Abrams' position. In fact, she's making the same case to get herself selected as the vice presidential nominee. If Joe Biden doesn't choose Stacey Abrams, he's racist.
Do you think that not choosing a woman of color, a black woman actually, is a slap in the face to the black female voters?
I would share your concern about not picking a woman of color, because women of color, particularly black women, are the strongest part of the Democratic Party. We need a ticket that reflects the diversity of America.
Yeah, you need a ticket with Stacey Abrams on it. That's what you need, Mr. Racist Guy. So say what you will about Stacey Abrams, she's not subtle. There's no mistaking her motives or her meaning. Give her what she wants or she will call you racist. It's simple. identity politics. And of course, Abrams is for that too.
I believe in identity politics. I believe in identity politics. Not believe identity politics are the only politics that win.
Quote, identity politics are the only politics that win, end quote. Where did Abrams learn that cynical little slogan? Probably at Yale Law School, where, like so many oppressed political figures before her, of course she went. Will Joe Biden fall for this? Yeah, probably. He's weak and confused and desperate to make the in-group, the cool kids. But should the rest of us fall for it? Is not being called racist worth having Stacey Abrams own country? That's really the question.
And that was Tucker Carlson, a very good commentary on Stacey Abrams. Nick Griffin is a person I know well. He was the former head of the British National Party, and I'm going to play something by him tomorrow night. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side. He kind of changed the pace a little bit from Negro rioting and complaining and entitlement to a man who had some problems in his life, pulled his life together, overcame an alcohol problem, and has a great voice, Randy Travis.
You may think that I'm talking foolish. You've heard that I'm wild and I'm free. Can promise you now, this love that I feel for you always will be. But you're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. in me. I've spent a lot of time thinking of this perfect love I know. Oh, how I love that old picture on the wall of you and me and the kids, my most favorite times in life I've spent right here where we live. There's no
wishing she was
true. There was a time when she was mine.
If I told you that I realize you're all I
ever wanted, and it's killing me to be so far away. Would you tell me that you love me too, and would we cry together? Or would you simply laugh at me and say, I told you so.
Side of me, and I sign off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, would the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair. And joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. And Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf. Save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf.